Today, we're going to be joined by two experts in innovation. First, we're going to talk about how we can apply the ideas of disruptive innovation to our individual careers. We're going to be joined by Whitney Johnson. She's co-founder of an interesting company called Rose Park Advisors, and also author of the new book, Disrupt Yourself, Putting the Power of Disruptive Innovation to Work. And she's going to discuss how you can become more innovative in your career. How do we think about disruption as it relates to our careers?
Well, it's the same idea. So it's something that starts at the low end and then climbs to the top and then eventually upends itself. But when it comes to our careers, we're doing the upending of ourselves. You can start at the low end of the ladder. You can climb to the top and then you can jump. And in both instances where you start at the low end, you're a disruptor. And then again, when you jump from the top, you're disrupting yourself.
We recently had Tony Ulwick on, who was also involved with, and I'm sure is a friend of yours, but is also involved with Christensen. And he was talking about his jobs to be done framework, which I like a great deal. And you have this great phrase, what is the job you're hiring your career to do? What do you mean by that?
Whenever you take on a new job, you think of them hiring you, but in fact, you're hiring that job to do a couple of different things for you. There's the functional piece, and then there's the emotional piece. So the functional piece is you're hiring your work to put food on the table, right? To be able to pay your rent. But then there's this big other piece that looms very large and we don't think about so much is what's the emotional job that you're hiring your work to do? Are you hiring it so that you can feel a sense of status, a sense of prestige? Are you feeling it so that you can learn, so you can feel valued, so that you can contribute? And it's probably some amalgam of all of the above. But what I found is that almost always when people do walk away from a job, when they disrupt themselves, it's not continuing to do the functional job that they wanted it to do, but in some sort of odd way, it's not doing the emotional job, which is exactly when I walked away from Wall Street and my friends literally thought I was out of my mind for walking away from that power and prestige. It wasn't that it couldn't do the functional job anymore. It's that it was no longer doing the emotional job that I had originally hired it to do.
And you emphasize the importance of playing to your strengths. How should we do that?
Well, I think it's a fair question because the way you said it, it's almost a loaded question. Like, okay, play to your strength, but there's that hidden question, which is, what are my strengths?
Yeah, you know, I was reading a Dilbert cartoon. You know, the noted management expert Dilbert,
yes.
And there was one cartoon where Dilbert was asked by the pointy haired boss to do a survey and find the core capabilities of the company, and he comes back and he says, "We're really good at automating things that we shouldn't be doing in the first place, worshiping the status quo, masking lapses in fiduciary responsibility, and hearing what we want to hear." And then the pointy-haired boss says, "So we're good at automating things?" You know, it can be tough to really get a clear view of what our strengths are. Yeah, so that is where I'm heading with the question.
And I think one of the things I talk about is playing to your distinctive strengths, meaning things that you do well that other people in your sphere don't, which are actually fairly easy to identify in retrospect because they're what make you a fish out of water. But as you alluded to, it's hard to figure out what your strengths are in the first place. So a couple of different hacks that I've come up with. Number one is what makes you feel strong. And this is building on Marcus Buckingham's work. But when you think about what you get done in the course of a day, think about what makes you feel invigorated, what makes you feel inquisitive, what makes you feel strong. I mean, I would even argue what makes you feel handsome or beautiful, because I think when you're playing to your strengths, you feel all of those things. And if you start to reflect on how you felt when you were doing the various functions of your job, you'll start to be able to clue into what those are. The second thing I would say is think about what you do when you're feeling incredibly overwhelmed or stressed. When you're feeling overwhelmed and stressed, not the self-sabotaging, I just ate a quart of Haagen-Dazs ice cream, but that thing that you do that helps you feel in control again. For some people, it's spreadsheets. For some people, it's making phone calls to potential clients. Whatever that thing is, it's probably one of your strengths because it allows you to feel strong and therefore in control. And then the third thing that I would suggest is think about the compliments that you get that you've received so many times that you ignore them, you habitually dismiss them. And it's because we tend to undervalue what we are and overvalue what we aren't. And so this thing that we do that's as natural as breathing, we don't value it. And yet it's that very thing that if we will recognize it, acknowledge it, own it, and employ it, we will be, in fact, playing to our strengths.